This meeting is being recorded.
Okay. Well, welcome everybody to the Fire and Emergency Services Committee meeting of the Cameron Park Community Services District. It is Tuesday, March 8th, 2022. We're beginning our meeting at 5:32 p.m. The agenda is posted on the district website along with the teleconference and electric meeting protocols. Should there be any questions over the course of the meeting? And we'll start with a roll call. General Manager, would you take care of that, please?
Sure. Director Aston?
Here.
Director Bazette?
Here.
All our committee members are here. We also have myself and Chief Moran's in attendance.
Wonderful.
And may I ask Luana Dowling to introduce herself? I don't know who she is.
Sure. I'm Lloyd Dowling, and I'm actually the Placer County Firewise Communities Coordinator.
Okay, thank you.
As a part of our special presentation tonight.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. At this point, we're recognized to any of the public attending. Public testimony will be received on each agenda item, as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee, and the committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. At this point, we will move to an adoption of the agenda. Do we have any questions, comments, or motions regarding tonight's agenda?
I've had a chance to review it. I recommend that we approve it.
And I will second that. We do, there's just two of us. We'll do all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All okay. Opposed, nobody left. Moving now to approval of the conformed agenda. Any questions, comments, or motions regarding conformed agenda, Director Bazette?
None.
Okay, do we have a motion to accept the, or to approve the conformed agenda?
I move that we approve the conformed agenda.
I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. None left to oppose. All right, we move next to recognitions and presentations, where the Board of Directors expresses appreciation to members of the community, district staff, or the board for extra efforts as volunteers, committee members, or community-minded citizens, as well as special presentations from guests relating to the business of this committee. Tonight, we have a Firewise community presentation, and this is where Chief Moranza and Ms. Dowling.
I just want to real quick, I'm just really appreciative of Luana. I remember reaching out to her this last summer prior to the Caldor, and then we know what happened with Caldor, and we're just kind of regrouping right now. The Firewise community is something that we've been, you know, talking about for over a year now. Mm-hmm. I think that the timing is good right now, and again, I'm appreciative that Luana is here to, she's got some really extensive PowerPoints and some more information, but right now it's more about, you know, she gave me some information that is in the packet for you guys to, you know, look at. And then it's more about kind of question answer for her right now. And I think from what I've experienced or what I've heard is it's more about how do we get started and, you know, some of that basic information before we move on and get more in depth. But it's like I said, it's Luana Dowling. She's the Placer Firewise Community Coordinator. And she's been doing this for quite a while. And she's got, 100? How many communities are you overseeing, Luana?
I'm actually overseeing 146.
Yeah, yeah.
70 of those are actual recognized Firewise communities.
Wow.
So she's a wealth of knowledge, and she's available to help us in the future. Right now, it's more like, it's more about just, you know, questions you might have right now, and then we can go further and build on this. I think it's kind of exciting where we can go with this. So, Luana?
So as I said earlier, my name is Luana Dowling. I'm the Placer County Firewise Communities Coordinator. I'll get it out. I've been in the fire service actually for 30 years. I basically retired as the Forest Hill Fire Chief and went into doing Firewise Communities for the county. I've been in this position now since 2014. Born and raised in Placer County, very, very, very familiar with wildland fires and the fire service. So that's kind of my expertise I bring to the table. So I know that I sent Sherry some information. I don't know if you all had a chance to look it over mm-hmm. or not, and how extensive you want me to kind of go into FireWise itself. So if you could kind of give me some ideas before I just kind of start blurting out stuff.
Well, we have a couple members of the public here that might be here for some of this. So I want to make sure that at least some of the basic structure of this is presented in this. They can obviously read all the details in the agenda. But remind us, first of all, and Director Bazette, feel free to chime in as we move through this to make sure we're covering the important pieces. Remind us the definition and the construct of what makes a FireWise community.
Okay, so the FireWise program was started back in 2004 by the National Fire Protection Agency, and it's a grand program. I've been in this, like I said, for 30 years. I was been part of the Forest Hill, Iowa Hill Fire Safe Council for at least that long, and FireWise communities are, as far as I'm concerned, they're kind of number one because they're the grassroots of protecting a community and protecting folks' homes. So the program itself, like I said, was started in 2004. And it's a program that teaches folks, it's an educational program and a grassroots program that teaches folks how to protect their homes from the home out. And once a community comes together and everyone in that community starts protecting their homes from the home out, they essentially build a fire break around the community, and their homes are hardened from the things that they do to harden their homes in the process. And the community comes together. I've just seen some really fabulous stuff happen. So the program itself, let me kind of just run down how you become a FireWise community. So the program itself, it starts with as little as 8 homes or as many as 2,800 homes. That's what FireWise has put as their parameters. They have to be contiguous in some fashion. So those 8, if there's 8 homes, they have to have contiguous boundaries. If there's 2,800 homes, you have to be able to draw a circle around that particular area to be, and everything inside of that is your FireWise community. You need a board. I found in the past, HOAs work really well. Groups like yourself work really well if you have boundaries to your particular group. Cul-de-sacs work really well. I have one fire district that has actually became a FireWise community. They've made their whole fire district a community. So it's kind of whatever works for you. I have a group in the Todd Valley area of Forest Hill, if you know where that is, that they have taken polygons within their communities and, you know, several different streets and made those FireWise communities. And they've kept them to about 40 homes per community because that's what works for them. So you need, and when I say a board, it can be very loosely put. It does not need to be a very structured board. It can be 3 or 4 people that want to be the spearheads for that community. The other thing that's great about FireWise is that community owns their own program. They follow what they make for their rules, as long as they keep the rules of FireWise engaged, which is the size of your community, the fact that you have to put in, and this is very minimal, 1 hour of the either defensible space work or working on your home to make it FireWise per year, per resident. Every one of my FireWise communities absolutely overdoes that. They absolutely are way above and beyond that. But that's what FireWise wants. And on a yearly basis, you have to go back in and renew and your community has to do that 1 hour per home or an equivalent of that to renew every year.
So I have a couple questions. Is the, you know, we're a town, not so much rural, but, you know, about 15,000, is the best approach to kind of go to maybe HOAs at the neighborhood level? Is that kind of working bottom up? Is that the best strategy from your experience?
It absolutely is. And those HOAs, I have several, all the way from the Roseville area or Rockland area, all the way to Tahoe City. And the HOAs work very, very well. They have annual meetings. They have ways to contact all the folks within their community already. So instead of starting out where they don't have contacts and they have to get their contacts and they have meetings and they have to start inviting people, which works also. It has worked very well. But the HOAs already have the contacts and already have a structure that they can follow.
My next question is, we have our, you know, contract.
Director Bazet.
Yes.
If I may interrupt, what I'd like to ask is if there are particular pieces that she wants to give her presentation first.
Sorry, I apologize. That's okay.
I've got questions too.
Yeah, but, okay. Sounds good.
We've got a set time here for the meeting, so I want to make sure we get all the essentials from her.
Sure. Okay, and so let me run down a couple of the other things that within the FireWise communities, once you get your board put together, then there's an assessment that is done, and it's done as a community as a whole. It's not done on each individual home within the community or property within the community. Because a lot of times the first thing I have is, oh my goodness, you know, Mrs. Smith down the road is not going to do anything and they haven't done anything for years on their property. That's not the way we look at this. We look at this as a community as a whole. So it brings the community together to work on issues that are addressed within that assessment. So the assessment is, it's based on percentages. So, you know, we'll look at the amount of homes within the community that have fire resistant siding or that have 5 foot from their home is cleared of vegetation and they have their defensible space. Roofs are another thing that's in the assessment. There's several of those things. How many homes have vents that are covered? How many homes have decking wood that's attached to their home that could potentially burn their home because of embers? Those things are just kind of a general of what's in the assessment. So we do the assessment as for the community as a whole, and we look at it in percentages. Then after the assessment's complete, then we do an action plan. The assessment is good for 5 years. The action plan is good for 3 years. We go through and we do an action plan, and it's on a three-year basis. So every year we put down, okay, this is what we want to accomplish this year. So let's say we just have this terrible fire trap community, okay? We have no ingress, egress. We have no visible address signs. We have, let's say we have shake roofs, which I have found quite often in communities that we wouldn't think would have shake roofs, and that it's part of the HOA that they have shake roofs. Interesting concept, but it's actually, I've run into this. So they've had to actually go back through their HOA and take that out and replace it with other things. And so these are things that have happened. Anyway, so we have this terrible community. So within the first year, we start educating people. And we say, okay, we're going to have a work day and we're going to clear our ingress and egress within our, you know, we're going to clear back the roadsides. We're going to have a work day and do that. Remember, we're going to have several work days and do that. Or we're going to start looking at limbing up our trees around the community to, you know, 10 or 12 feet, depending on the height of the tree. To get that stuff up off the ground. We're going to have a day where we clean up all the pine needles in our community and we have a dumpster day. You know, they bring in a big dumpster and everybody fills it. There's those types of things, what goes into your action plan. And you progress throughout the 3-year process. And you may the first year not get near what you thought you're going to get done, or you may be able to do a lot more. So those are the two things. You have to have an assessment, you have to have an action plan, and you have to have your hours, 1 hour per household to submit your application to FireWise. Once it's submitted, the application goes to Sacramento to the person, whoever is in charge of the FireWise program in CAL FIRE. They will review it. They believe that everything is there that they need. Then they will send it on to NFPA for approval. NFPA will approve it, and you are a recognized FireWise community. That's kind of the program in a nutshell. So now we can ask questions.
Apologize, I muted myself and forgot. I recognize we have some members of the public who might also want to ask a question in this, and I want to honor the time. A framing question, then Director Bazette, I'll come back to you with the questions that you had. How long of a process does this normally take for a community to get to that recognition?
So it all depends on the community. Communities that are very well organized can get through the process in a matter of months, with 2 months at the top. Ones that aren't as organized and have a little bit of more problem contacting people and getting through the process, I've seen some of 6 months. I've got communities out there that have been slowly working on this for over a year or so. It all depends on the community if they want to work through the process.
Okay. I have some follow-up questions to that, but Director Bazette, I wanted to give you the chance to ask your other question.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just trying to understand the structure of this. And then the assessment is, so would be that be something that we would put out to voters, or how does that assessment work? Or is it neighborhood by neighborhood, HOAs? How does the assessment work? That's my first question. Second one is, you know, we've kind of almost expected CAL FIRE to be our fire prevention specialists with, you know, weed abatement and such. Is this a totally different entity? Is it separate from CAL FIRE? Is it kind of our CSD responsibility, or how does that work in most communities? And I don't really understand, because it is kind of citizen driven as I understand it. So anyway, and then my third question is it better just to start maybe one neighborhood at a time to try to get one successful area and then go to the next neighborhood, something like that.
Try again.
Okay.
I only caught part of that.
So, okay. Maybe, my first question is the assessment. How does the assessment work?
So CAL. Right. Okay. So the assessment. So CAL FIRE is a partner in this program. They are not someone who runs the program. They are someone that you want to look to for assistance, for guidance. But individual communities run the program. It's their program. It's not a CAL FIRE program. What I would suggest and what I suggest to our communities is that if you have an education day, you invite them to come to your education day. Okay. If they want to participate in your assessment process, absolutely invite them for that assistance. But this is a program that your community needs to be involved in and needs to take the lead on.
And then the organization. So,
however, know, whichever community it is.
Okay. Then the assessment, is that a tax assessment, or is it at a local level, an HOA, or how does that work?
No, it's a fire risk assessment, basically. It's a FireWise assessment. So what it is assessment of your community.
The report.
That is done by your community. There's a template for it. And so you answer the questions on the template. You can go to FireWise.org, go to Getting Started on the FireWise.org page, and you can pull up, you can download that assessment and look at it. I believe I sent it to Sherry.
No, but we got it. You gave it to us.
Pardon me?
We did get it.
Okay. So that's the template for the assessment that you'll use. And so before I had so many FireWise communities, I used to make a day and we would walk the community and we would answer those questions as a group, whatever group, whoever wanted to join for the day. And we'd answer the questions on that as a group. When it comes to the summary and recommendations portion of that assessment, that's where you want to reach out to your CAL FIRE partners and have them help you put that recommendation and summary part together, but it will come from that assessment when you do that.
Okay.
Any other questions, Director Bezza? Did that
answer your question?
No, there's a lot to take up. The educational part is huge. I'm very impressed with this, by the way. Thank you for the presentation and the materials. And then the education, all that should be more of a community-based, not necessarily our CAL FIRE partners. Is that correct?
Correct.
A community responsibility? Okay. Thank you for that.
Yes. Yes. This is community-based, and that's why I love this program so much, because the community itself gets involved, and the community knows what their hazards are for that particular community, instead of being very large-based like some of the fire safe councils. Not that they're not great. They are. So what I encourage the FireWise communities to do is once they get together, then they attend their fire safe councils and they bring their issues as a community to that fire safe council. So it's more generally located and it's not their issues aren't just spread out throughout the whole community, throughout the whole county.
Any other questions?
It's more community based. And
I recognize that we have at least one member of the participants who has a hand raised, like to ask a question. I'm going to interject a couple just to give us some structure, and then I'm planning to go out to public to get some questions. Just so I get this right, based on our community size, and this is helping me frame it, when we originally talked about being a FireWise community, I think the language and understanding was that Cameron Park would be a FireWise community. My understanding from the definitions of what you're saying is that's not really possible. Cameron Park would be a collection of FireWise communities because it's up to about 2,500 residents. Is that what you said?
2,800 is what NFPA puts their cap. FireWise puts their cap at 2,800 residents per community.
Okay. But it sounds like what you might recommend is looking for affinity group areas. So an HOA, a development, so that the houses, of course, are contiguous, but also that their neighbors, they would share that kind of common interest. And because you might get some areas within our larger community who might not be interested or might not be as invested as others. Does that sound right?
Yes. The other thing I want to reiterate is that I have a lot of folks ask me, does everyone within that community have to be a participant? No. If their property, if they choose not to participate, they choose not to participate. Some of the HOAs have a little bit more teeth in the game. And so that's however they want to structure that. But I will say that after a year or two of being in a FireWise community, everyone is a participant. No one wants to be left out. No one wants to be that person that goes, I'm not going to do this and not take care of their properties.
Yeah. And that was one question in it, because the information you gave us presented it also in monetary terms, that it's per person per year could also be money spent in that effort. And that was my first concern, recognizing how many thousands of properties in our and homes in our community there's about $125,000, I think, but that's not what we're going for. We're going for involvement, correct?
Absolutely. And once they start getting really educated and they know all their neighbors are educated, they really want to do the right thing, not only with their own homes, but their properties themselves.
And so in a community like Cameron Park, where we have various terrains, we have different types of houses and sizes of properties, we have apartment complexes and all that, not different from other locales. How many Firewise communities would you suggest is a good first goal within our community to make sure we do it right, we set a good standard and a good example that people want to then do it in their community?
I don't think that I would put a number on that. What I would put on that is if you reach out to your HOAs, if they want to become Firewise communities, boy, let them go. Let them start, let them get home. And just because you as Cameron Park are not going to be the ones that are they're going to coordinate themselves and get going and get moving. The program is set up for them to do that. Yes, so, there will be questions. Those questions can go to the coordinator at NFPA if need be, or I'm very, very, very open to answering questions for anyone that wants to come to me.
So it sounds like the role of our CSD would be more a setting the vision in front of our community, creating opportunities for people to become informed and organized, but it's not really something that the CSD itself does. It's something that local groups and local communities would need to spearhead themselves, correct?
Correct. What you folks could possibly do is, you know, help them with, you know, if they're like chipper days that you could help organize for them, you know, help with that. Dumpsters, if folks want to do, you know, dumpsters in an area, if you wanted to put in for grants to get monies to do that, you could really, really help with and help coordinate, you know, getting with Cal Fire, help coordinate maybe a big wildfire preparedness day is coming up May 5th, May something, the first weekend in May.
Yeah.
Help coordinate, help, you know, put that together as a big thing that you guys do to get those communities to come in and start the Firewise process. So there are things that you can do to help, but to be, each one of those communities needs to stand alone.
Okay, that's a helpful word, appreciate that. And we have partnerships, obviously, with Cal Fire, with our fire partners, with El Dorado Disposal, who I think could be a partner in that as well. So that's a good start. Thank
yes.
you. I'm gonna
I know
go
that after the big...
Go ahead.
I know that after the snows that just happened, the Forest Hill Iowa Hill Fire State Council is planning a big wildfire preparedness day, and they're getting dumpsters in, and they're getting some of the local contractors to provide the chipper program for the day for them. So they're organizing those types of things that can help out the rest of the communities.
Okay, that's a good guiding word. Thank you. I want to open this up to public to get some comments and questions while we have a little bit of time left, because we have a couple other agenda items to get to. Sure. So General Manager, I see Gina Posey in our attendees. She has her hand raised. She's been patiently waiting. If you could unmute her, please.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, Gina, we can hear you well.
So my question is, there is a Greater Cameron Park Fire Council. Would it make sense to align with them as part of this program?
So I'm assuming that that's a Fire Safe Council, and I believe that I have heard that in the past, that there is a Greater Cameron Fire Safe Council. I would definitely get them in the loop. But again, I want to reiterate that these Firewise communities are standalone communities. But yes, if they have any time that you can get folks working together, it's great. So get them out there, get them to help with a Firewise day, get them to help with a fire preparedness day. They probably already have some things that they're working on.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions, Gina?
No, that's it for right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from our attendees? Okay. All right, Gina, I'll ask if you could put your hand down if you didn't have anything else to say. That way I know if you do again later. Paul, I saw your hand go up and go away. Did you have a comment or question? Don't see the hand again. There we go. General Manager, can you unmute Mr. Gilchrist there?
Hi, guys. And I'm sorry, my toggle switch says it seems to be flipping opposite of hand up versus hand down. So my apologies.
Not a problem.
Gina, your question was appropriate. I do chair the Fire Safe Council for the Greater Cameron Park area. We've actually, at my property in Tahoe, we have gone through this past year in a matter of literally 2 months, become a FireWise community at Tahoe Swiss Village. We partnered with North Tahoe Fire Protection District. And they have a fuels forest coordinator specialist that's funded out of a grant that handles all of the Tahoe Basin. But anyway, they use the fire department, the local district here, to help coach in creating the fire safe councils. And in that creation, followed basically the steps that Luana outlined. And I remember actually walking the community, doing a risk assessment and checking the boxes for shake roof, tile roof, composite roof, hardened homes versus non-hardened homes already, and so forth. And we got a pretty good, from the fire district, they gave us a pretty good outline of what it was that we're supposed to be doing. So we've used that up here. Now, in my residence in Cameron Park, I live up in Eastwood Park, and we have started, there's a gentleman in the area that has volunteered to run point to create, make Eastwood Park, that neighborhood, a defined FireWise community, and following all the steps that were outlined above. And that's some coordination work that we're doing with the Fire Safe Council is working with that neighborhood specifically, because we have representation pretty much east of Cameron Park Drive is where we have all the representation in the Fire Safe Council. It was really good partnering with the up here in Tahoe with the fire district locally. They had a canned outline. It was put together. They had all the forms, they had everything, and helped coach everyone to walk it through it. I've leveraged that with Eric's permission. Eric Hornvelt is the fuel specialist in North Tahoe. That process, it's pretty simple, but it also comes down to what Luana said. It's the community has to get behind it. And you can be an advisor, you can be a coach, you can help in that regard, but the community needs to be involved. And I think if we had, there's also talk on Many Oaks Lane, which is actually outside of Cameron Park CSD, but they're talking about becoming a FireWise community as well. And then some areas that are up near, that are actually in the rescue area as part of the Fire Safe Council that are engaging in that as well. So it can go either way. CAL FIRE can be a partner and certainly partner with that, but it's, Cameron Park Fire administered by CAL FIRE. If I'm saying that right, Sherry, please correct me if I'm saying it incorrectly. So those were the options and the approaches there, but it is very much neighborhood driven.
Thank you, Paul.
I have to say, as long as I've been doing this, I ask folks a lot that once I get big groups of FireWise community members in a room, and I ask them what was one of the best things that came out of your FireWise, and every one of them, the first thing is, we know our neighbors now. We're a community. We have potlucks. We hang out together. It's things that they never did before. And that right there is huge in itself, because now they're talking and now they're working together on a community FireWise program that's working for them.
Wonderful. And I think at this point, it sounds like you've given us enough to start talking about and running with to set up where we go from here, especially knowing from Mr. Gilchrist that there's already at least one kind of defined community within our larger, greater Cameron Park area that's moving toward that. I think we'll start to coordinate and see what they're doing and begin to spread that. So is there any last piece before we move on, Ms. Dowling, that you would like to give to us on this?
No, I just want to throw out to you guys that I'm always available. Anybody ever has any questions, don't hesitate to give my email address. That's usually the best way to get a hold of me. And I'm always willing to ask questions. Firewise.org is a great website to also answer a lot of your questions and to help you through the process. But I'm always willing to help if you need me.
Oh, one last question, if I may. In the material you gave, it only mentioned USAA as an insurance company that recognizes Firewise communities in their insurance considerations. I'm assuming that there's other insurance companies that do that too.
There are, and just recently, our insurance commissioner, Mr. Lara, has actually, I have some more information on that. He's actually doing some really good things out there for when it comes to insurance, but I have an email that I can send to Sherry and she can disseminate it out to you folks. And in that email, there's a link to the insurance companies that actually recognize Firewise now. And there's several of them. There's more than I thought there was.
Yeah.
That's great.
I just had some information on that. There's 12 companies that do the fire insurance mainly in California, and they were talking a 20% discount if it meets all the fire hardening criteria that seem to overlap with this. So I don't know if it's hard, but that's kind of what the numbers they're looking at, which is a real incentive for our homeowners, I would think.
It's growing. Firewise is becoming very recognized.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I see a couple of the hands have gone up. Unfortunately, we've exceeded the time that we need to give to this, as well as the 3 minutes per person on any agenda item. And this will be a longer conversation. So Ms. Posey, I don't know if you kept your hand up on purpose or if it was just accidental, but we have a couple of under agenda items and a meeting after this. So I need to unfortunately honor this time. But this is an ongoing conversation that we will bring in. And I think I want to bring this to the larger board for their awareness as well, particularly if we're going to try to do some information in our larger community. So, Ms. Dowling, thank you so much for being here tonight and giving us your time. This is really helpful.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. It's a great program, and I think you guys will be very, very happy with it once you get it off and going.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I have a feeling we'll be talking with you again.
Thank you, Luan.
Thank you, Luan. Appreciate that very much. Okay. And again, my apologies to community members who are here.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye. But we need to get to a couple of other items here, and we will create other opportunities to talk about this as we move along. So next piece we have is open forum, where members of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. Remind community members, we have a 3-minute time limit on that simply for the sake of the full meeting, as well as respecting other folks. So if you have an item you'd like to bring up in open forum, you can raise your hand. Gina, I see yours is still up. I'm not sure if that's because you have something or it just hasn't been brought down from the previous item. All right. Gina, I'm not hearing from you, so I'm assuming that your hand is just still up. You don't have anything to add to open forum. Okay. Seeing no other hands, I will close open forum. We'll move to department matters at this point. Our first item on department matters is the first responder fee analysis. So Chief Morantz, you're bringing this back to us after some questions in a previous meeting.
Yes, from the last fire committee meeting. So you'll see there's an agency transmittal staff report in front of you. The background is a first responder user fee authorized under health and safety code for cost recovery, providing advanced life support paramedic services. On February 17, 2021, the Cameron Park CST Board of Directors approved the resolution, which was an agreement between DTA and the Cameron Park CST to provide a user fee study. A draft report was presented to the Fire and Emergency Services Committee on February 1st, 2022 for review and discussion. The committee requested that DTA clarify. There was two things they asked to clarify. One was the estimated time on scene shown in table 5 of the report. And then to research if any of the comparable fees that they used in their study had increased since the time they had gathered that info. And so the information is down below. DTA responded to that first question. They had provided in table 5, it actually shows the time that it took the equipment to get to scene. That's identified. And then the second column, it had originally showed time on scene. And so they actually did some research, and the language has been added to the top of the calendar there to say that that time on scene includes the engine returning back to quarters. So hopefully that was a good call. I actually didn't see that. Hopefully that answers the question on that. So the time is captured for the equipment to get at scene, and then the on scene time, which they they detail up there, includes the on scene time and return to quarters time, which the return to quarters time is going to be is going to match the travel to the incident. And the second question they answered by providing comparisons to the prior when they collected this information up until literally a couple months ago on if the fees had increased, which would have been done by ordinance by each district or fire protection or city. So Amador Fire Protection DC stayed the same. Sac City went up a little bit. Sac Metro increased $15 or so. Folsom Fire Department had a significant jump. I don't know if they actually did a Nexus study. I know that their first study was actually something they did internally. They did not hire anyone to get that $225. So I don't know if they, did another Nexus study to raise that up. Rockland Fire Department remained the same. And then Cosumnes remained the same. So those were the two questions. Hopefully those were answered. And then staff has recommended the committee consider forwarding the first responder report to the board of directors for consideration. And then we would work on the next step.
Okay. Thank you for that information. That was helpful to see that only Folsom was one that really significantly increased, and maybe it is because of how they first conducted their study initially to get that number. One question I have, and just breaking it down, and maybe this is trying to analyze it too much, in that medical call data analysis, for that to include the return to station or return to quarters, I guess that leaves about a 12-15 minute window for the actual being on scene and taking care of the incidents. Does that sound about average for what happened?
I see estimated arrival time was 0.13 and estimated time on scene is 0.50.
Right. So if I'm using the same arrival time and subtracting that from the estimated time on scene, because we're including the return to quarters, that leaves about, and tell me if I'm doing the math wrong, about 0.37.
Yes. Yeah. I would say, I mean, I would honestly, unless I not out there doing it myself right now, I'm going to say that based on the stats that they pulled from the command center, which is literally where they got it. And okay. It's in the computer aided dispatch and they have AVL. So when they timestamp, when they go at scene, they timestamp, when they leave. And so that's where all these stats were pulled from, real world data.
All right. That's just me needing to understand your world a little better.
Yeah.
That 15 to 20 minutes really is kind of the average, obviously. Before they get there and they realize it's
they like, get in, get out. Yep. Yep.
Okay. And, I appreciate the extra the adjusted comparisons, recognizing that even those comps aren't necessarily anything that adjusts what we can do. We do it based simply on the data given, the percentages applied, all of that. So.
Yes, because these fees that are much higher, it's because the cost of providing the service is much higher. As you know, this Nexus study is based off of that. They have to validate and show that it costs more to do it. And obviously ours is less because it isn't as expensive as some of these other departments. So
that was the only clarification I needed. Director Bazette, do you have any other questions on this?
Yeah, a couple of questions. So the time is about 2/3 of an hour. Is that correct? That's leaving the station, doing whatever treatment is necessary, returning the station. Is that fair statement? Pretty correct? Okay. And then, so the one that blows me away with when we look at the comparisons to neighboring districts is Sacramento Metropolitan. Is it traffic? Is it parking? Why are they so high relative to other communities?
You mean the dollar amount?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's because, I mean, they literally, when they came to us and asked for all the stats, it was the wages, it was the equipment, okay. It was everything. So when you take all that in, and it's going to say that the fire department as a whole costs more for that city or district in general. And so they asked us a million questions. And so what we have to provide, and we took the CSD staff overtime, you know, that we are not overtime, staff time at the CSD, the fire department personnel, everything we could possibly put in there, the engine itself, fuel, running the stations. I mean, we gave them everything we could, and that's where we fell. These other departments are just more expensive.
I just can't believe it could be that much more. It's just hard. I'm just trying to think, is there something I'm missing here? Okay. And you guys drive greater distances, I would think, than they're going to do in Sacramento Metro. Yeah.
The DTA that did this, I mean, they know what they're doing. I mean, they're professionals. They do this all the time. They're familiar with the area, the demographics. And when they came together, they analyzed everything. And they're like, this is it. This is what it costs.
Is their equipment pretty much comparable to yours too?
The other fire departments?
No, we're talking Sacramento Metro is just a comparison.
Oh yeah. Yes, it's comparable, but like, I don't know what those folks make, but they take in their pay scale. They take in, it's not just the equipment. The drive time is actually I shouldn't say a small part, but it's going to take drive time. And then you're taking the hourly wages of every employee that's on that piece of equipment, right? Is adding up a lot of this. Overhead administration. I mean, they are big departments. I mean, you look at these other departments and there's a lot of money involved in running them because they're big. And so they proportion out all this stuff with us. It's, you know, we've got two stations and we've got us as your contract. And we looked everywhere we could, we put everything there and it was legit. And that's the number.
Well, I just compliment you. It makes you look a lot more efficient. Let's put it that way.
Well, okay. Thank you. We tried.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. We'll apply that to you too, Josh, especially now that you're with us.
So just so you know, Josh ran off to a fire up in Garden Valley right before the meeting started. I said, I'm like, oh, make sure I got everything. I got to fill in for him. But you can see he's back now. So.
Glad you're okay.
At the top of Marshall grade, actually.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah.
So the reception's good then. Okay. Unless there's any other questions from the committee, I'm going to open up to the public. If you have any questions on this first responder fee, this would be your time to do that. Gina, I see your hand up. You are unmuted if you have a question to ask. Okay, hearing none, I'll move Paul, Mr. Gilchrist.
Yes, thanks, Eric. And you can call me Paul, that's fine.
Okay.
And this is just some information. In El Dorado County Fire, we've had this dialogue going on. And part of our dialogue included an aspect to say most homeowner insurance policies cover a first responder fee to some amount. In addition, and frankly, I didn't know that until we talked about it. Then I read my policy in that area, and sure enough, it was there. The other thing we talked about is that one of our board members is on SAC Metro, and they have a hardship waiver that they implement for those that don't have the insurance to cover a first responder's fee. So in your thinking, that might be something to take into consideration. That's it.
Oh, thanks for that, Paul. And actually, that was a part of our early conversation to recognize in some of our community that might be a hardship to pay that. So that would definitely be a part of the plan. So I really appreciate you bringing that to us. Okay. Seeing no other comments from the public, we will close public comment at this point and bring this back to committee. Any other comments or input, Director Bazette, that we want to do on this?
No, thank you. I appreciate it. It's been very thoroughly done. I appreciate it.
Okay. So the recommended action on this was review and discuss. So General Manager, at this point, and Chief Morantz, if I understand correctly, we are ready to move this forward. Is this a bring it to the board, or do we have to, what's the next step? I think is we have to create an ordinance.
I apologize. I think I was going through this and it should have been, asking you to consider and move it forward to the board. So.
Okay.
Is it motion in order?
Then yes, I think we make an ocean in mortar.
Okay, then
I have an ocean. I have an ocean. Okay,
thank you.
Do we have a motion to recommend that we move this forward to the board of directors?
I will so move that the first responder fee analysis, I guess would be, we are creating a resolution around it or something, are we? Or just that report? What are we moving forward?
My understanding is that this committee can't do anything other than recommend it to the board of directors. The board of directors then makes a decision on any kind of resolution or ordinance that needs to go with it.
So we're just moving the analysis forward. Is that correct? Okay. Then I move that we move the first responder fee analysis report forward to the full board.
I'll second that. General Manager, I haven't gotten to hear from you, Rob. Would you do a roll call?
Sure. Director Aston?
Aye.
Director Bazette?
Aye.
Unanimous. Motion passes.
All right. So we will forward this to Board of Directors, hopefully for our next meeting. If we can get that on the agenda for next week, it'd be nice to get some action on this moving forward. All right. So let me get to my agenda here. All right, after item number 3, we now move to staff updates. So our fire department report from our just-in-time chief, Mr. Augustin, would you chime in here, sir?
Yeah, so the fire department incident totals, there was a decrease for the month, and annually we're seeing an increase in as far as 13% for call volume overall. So. And call volume has been picking up. We've had activity in the unit, medical aids, and assist to other agencies. We've had a few small escape control burns, vegetation fires within the unit. Today we had the unit assisted the Forest Service on an incident. Vegetation fire up in Volcanoville. So we've had a drawdown with state equipment, but no equipment from Cameron Park's was committed to that today. So moving on to as far as the administrative report, we've got the Zoll cardiac monitors that went into service on our frontline equipment. Engine 88, Engine 89, and Medic 89. These monitors, they were purchased through a grant with El Dorado County Fire Chiefs. A number of other agencies also were able to take part in the grant process and also received these new cardiac monitors. So they were getting training on them the next 2 days, and then they'll be on the equipment. So we've also got the Genesis extrication equipment that was purchased through the Office of Traffic Safety Grant is now in place and in use on Engine 88 and Engine 89. Next week, we have Engine 88 attending an extrication class, and they're going to be highlighting those particular tools. And so our plan with that is to be able to capture training and photos to satisfy the media portion with the Office of Traffic Safety. We were also looking at other media outlets to be able to add to those, not just social media, but the Mountain Democrat.
We'd like to share some of that information and pictures at least with you at the next, hopefully next fire committee, and see what they're doing. Should be some good pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have pictures of just good training with all of the equipment to show its capabilities. And I'd even like to get a video demo for you guys. I think it would really see, because they'll do a comparison with the Genesis tool and then the traditional hydraulic AMCUS or Hurst tool that we have. Let's see, educational flyers were purchased with the remaining funds from the CCI grant. So those went into print today, and we should start seeing them by the end of this week going out and being distributed to the residents of Cameron Park.
What are those pamphlets? Are those flyers?
So last year, it was a 8.5 by 5-inch card that had gone out highlighting the Ready, Set, Go and Prepare for Wildfire, that went out highlighting the those two items, and also the drawing a blank here with the when we
the defensible space.
That's, yeah, defensible, yeah. Space, yeah. And also the when the sheriff's department, the code red for El Dorado County for code red. So and we added a few other things. One is a checklist, which has a perforated side to it where you can tear it off, go through the checklist of items that should be taken or have available in the event you have to leave your residence. So they look really good, and I'm excited to see those go out. And then also we were inquiring about the involvement of Cameron Park for the during the Caldor incident. So I left my notes on my desk, so I'm gonna do my best to highlight some items. So as far as personnel and equipment, were really the biggest impacts to the department. As far as using personnel from Cameron Park who went out as division group supervisor, trainees, and also myself as a strike team leader, I was committed to the Caldor for a little over a week. The equipment engine, our Type 3 equipment, 289, 389, or 388 and 289, were committed on strike teams and were hired by the unit at the time of the Caldor fire started, and they ended up as single increments, and then also were attached to strike teams during the Caldor. We've had some personnel that were their homes were impacted and they were evacuated. Captain Winger lives in the community of Grizzly Flat, and his neighborhood was evacuated. He chose to stay behind and basically defended the neighborhood. And so as far as the Cameron Park, also with the involvement with the CSD and having the Red Cross shelter, but as far as the fire department, that was the extent of our involvement.
Were there any lessons learned or recommendations if and when this happens again?
you know, that's a good point. We're going to have as far as a after action review.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So a lot of lessons were learned. However, we as a department and our relationship with the El Dorado National Forest, I think it's what it did is it strengthened our relationship with them. And the fact that the unit, Amador El Dorado, and personnel with CAL FIRE, you know, the effort that went into the work on the incident. Chief Blankenheim highlighted that in the in his address to the unit that he was impressed, and the even the forest managers. So as far as lessons learned, I mean, there's always a takeaway and a lesson to be learned with any incident, whether it's individually or with a department. I think that everybody had an enlightening experience because of just the way that the fire had burned and the amount of land and timber that was consumed. I think the big takeaway for me was that the forest management is was highlighted.
And we, just to add on real quick, as far as after action reports, I have not been involved with one in quite a while. I think what a lot of times what we'll do is we'll get together and just kind of, we've done this with our chief officers, is just talk about the incident. And because everybody has a piece of that, you know, that incident, and they don't often see what everyone else is doing. And it kind of provides some closure when everybody can talk about, hey, what were you doing? And hey, what was I doing? And it puts it paints a picture. And it actually helps to see what you did affected what someone else did. And I think we did do a chief officer meeting with that, where it was kind of just kind of everybody coming together and just kind of going step by step about what happened and reviewing it. And so that, I think that's helped for everyone to have a little closure. Cause like what Josh said, I mean, you know, I've, you know, 30 years of doing this, and there, you always say you've seen everything, but the way this fire burned, I have nothing to compare it to, the way it was burning. It's, and you have new people are coming up and they're seeing this, and people are seeing this last few years and they think it's normal. Well, I mean, I guess it is becoming normal, but it's like nothing I've ever seen before. And so I think trying to explain that to people, to say, you know, you're trying to explain what happened out there. So it's just really good for us to talk about it all. And we did.
Yeah. I really appreciate hearing that. That was just something I've been interested in sometime. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's huge. And I really appreciate all the efforts and the teamwork that went into this. It makes me really proud. It really does.
I would agree there. Anything else in your report then, Josh?
No, that was the end of the report.
I think you had the COVID update there though.
Oh,
you don't have your notes with you.
Yeah, my phone shut off, but
yeah.
I did make some notes. So no, we did not have, as far as our COVID update, no positive tests in the unit in the past couple weeks. So we're seeing the decline in Cameron Park and in the unit. We department policy, we're still testing weekly for each employee, and we're just, you know, still taking all of the measures and precautions with it.
And you know, you're maskless, I'm assuming. It's just the testing. That's all that's needed at this point?
That's correct. New guidelines came out for the department, and it's still, we're still, nothing has changed for us.
Okay, good.
Okay, thank you. You answered my question, knowing there's been some shifts in other realms of the state and other agencies. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
A couple quick questions or comments on a couple things you made. One, you talked about highlighting the cardiac units, as well as the extractors. You mentioned Mountain Democrat. I'll also mention Village Life, Cameron Park Life. Those would be another place to put it in, just as easy, same information. But I think that will get us just as good a circulation, if not more, just so our community knows. The other piece might be to push that also to the CSD office, depending on where it's appropriate or possible on our website. If there is a short video to highlight the extraction tool, we can put it up, hey, we got these on a grant and here's what it does. Love just a simple highlight of some of what's going on, and anybody who visits our website could see that too. So just a suggestion. So with that, open it up to members of the public. Anybody who is here and our participants tonight would like to ask a question or comment on the fire department report. Okay. Seeing no hands, we'll close public comment for that. Anything else, Director Bazette, before we move on?
Just that I've been in communication with Paul, who was here this evening, on this Fire Safe Council, and just exploring, could we have representation from Cameron Park on that council, and what that might look like. And so I know there was some consideration, and it was being communicated. And it's interesting how it does overlap with Cameron Park. So it's Shingle Springs, Greater Cameron Park, but I think it is a community group, and it'd be nice if we're represented there as a CSD.
Thank you for that. With that, I see your hand there, Paul. We have items for future committee agendas and items to take the board directors. Maybe that's where I can address that with you. So after we move from staff updates, we move items for future committee agendas. So Director Bazette, your comment there was not directly related necessarily to the fire department report, but under items for future committee agendas, is that something that you'd like to see brought up for discussion?
Actually, I would, yes. Yes, a little more thorough, and as I better understand it, perhaps Paul would like to be a part of that, do some presentation or something like that, so that we all better understand how all these things interface.
Okay. I have no other comment on that for future item agendas, so I'll go and open up to public. Paul, looks like you have a comment for that you can give here.
I would definitely like to have the Fire Safe Council collaborate with the fire department / CSD. There's some bylaw issues that I'll have to bring up at our next Fire Safe Council meeting, but we can have, there's six regions within the Cameron Park area, and then there's two business entities that can be added, and this is all based on our bylaws, and one member at large, and the member at large is taken. There might be opportunity for a business entity or enterprise, or if someone just wanted to serve as part of the community, that's possible. But I have to bring it to the board for their discussion and so forth, which I plan on doing.
Okay. Thank you for that, Paul. Appreciate it. We'll look forward to an update on that. And obviously, it'll be a discussion on a future agenda item then. Director Bazette, I'll talk with General Manager about when that's good to bring up in terms of what the flow is for our other agenda items moving forward.
Sounds good.
That up as soon as we can. Thank you. All right. Any other items for future committee agendas out of what we've discussed tonight? Okay. Hearing none, I'll move to item number 6. This is items to take to the Board of Directors, which I believe tonight is simply our first responder fee analysis. The question becomes to what to do with the FireWise community discussion. And General Manager, maybe you, or Chair, you can chime in here briefly, because we've got just a few minutes before we need to release so that the Budget and Administration Committee can get to their business. Does it sound like we need to step away, talk about this a little bit as a committee before we bring it to the directors to kind of give some guidance and suggestions for what the CSD does?
I would think so, based on, because I'm learning about it too, just like you guys are. And it was pretty clear how she was saying that it's the responsibility of the community, but then you need someone to spearhead that. And so I think that, you know, whether it's comes from the CSD, the general manager, or fire committee, I don't know, but someone's got to put together the information, which it's all out there. We can call Luana and get that information, put that on the CSD website, you know, put mailers out there, whatever. I don't know, you know, getting a hold of the HOA contacts, I guess, would be a good start. Because even if we can get a few of them under our belt, mm-hmm. you know, getting it started.
Okay.
I like the HOA avenue because yeah. they're organized. Maybe get a few of them, get that information out to those leads. I mean, CCNRs, you know, Hogue is going to know, you know, the contacts with all those folks. And I think we would start there, I think, and maybe have a meeting with them. Maybe get
let's do this. Because it's not an agendized item in that part of the discussion. Let's do this. General Manager, could you put that on our next agenda, pending what else needs to come up? And let's have the discussion of this as a committee and focus this in, create a short list of where we might target and how we might best approach this before we take it to the full board. Does that sound good?
So you want that back on the committee agenda for April?
Yes, if we could do that. Director Bazette, are you good for that?
I like the idea of starting small and picking maybe neighborhoods we could be successful with and before it gets too complicated. Yeah, it makes some good sense to have a strategy.
Okay, so let's bring that back for discussion and we can hone that down a little bit. That'd be great. Okay, so we have only the one item to take to the board of directors, General Manager. Is that correct?
I shared my, I'm sorry, General Manager's time. Sorry about that.
And that item is the forwarding the first responders fee analysis to the board of directors.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have come to the end of our department matters. We are now in matters to and from committee members and staff. We've got about a minute. Director Bazette, anything matters to and from?
Well, I actually misspoke about my meeting with Paul, I've had some interest from the County Taxpayer Association. So that'll be further conversation. So anyway,
wonderful.
Always good to have community input.
Wonderful. All right. Any other matters to and from? I'll open that up for staff. Okay, hearing none. That moves us to our last piece of adjournments. So I will make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
I will second that motion.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right, so we will adjourn our meeting at 6:44 p.m. coming in just under the wire. We can go ahead and stop the recording, General Manager. That'd be great.